An FAA manager says life is good for some air traffic controllers. The search for the Air France 447 recorders will resume. And Aircel announces additional financing. This is Aero News. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for downloading this AeroCast. Here's what's up in aviation for Wednesday, February 5th, 2010. A frontline manager at the New York ARTCC in Long Island has sent complaints to the FAA and the Office of Special Counsel, alleging some controllers work just 3 hours per shift and sometimes watch movies or send text messages while they should be monitoring air traffic. Evan Seeley is the whistleblower. He raised the issue 3 days after an American Airlines 777 nearly collided with two C-17 Globemasters over the Atlantic on January 14th. The New York Post reports the airliner came within 200 feet vertically and 2,000 feet horizontally of the military aircraft. The NTSB is reportedly investigating the incident after an inquiry from the paper. In his letters, Seeley alleges that the controllers, whom he says are airline employees, are not properly supervised at the center. He said two or three controllers often track as many as 15 aircraft at a time, while others will socialize, relax, or play games or movies on their laptops, despite an FAA prohibition against electronic devices in the workplace. He says sometimes stations are closed down and that most controllers only work an average of 3 hours of their assigned 8-hour shifts. The Post reports that Seeley's claims are corroborated by other air traffic control personnel. One told the paper the situation was just the tip of the iceberg. French officials say that next month they plan to resume the search for wreckage from Air France Flight 447, an Airbus A330 that went down in June of 2009 over the Atlantic with 228 people on board. AFP News reports the search will be a systematic exploration of almost 4,000 square miles of ocean. A German robotic mini-submarine will be the primary search vessel. The operation could last until July. This will be the third attempt to locate the airplane's cockpit data and voice recorders, which officials hope will shed some light on why the plane went down during a thunderstorm on a flight from Rio to Paris. The accident has been at least partially attributed to faulty speed sensors on the airplane. Aircel says it has closed an additional $35 million in financing with its existing investors and Aircel's management team. Proceeds will be used to fund growth in both commercial and business aviation markets. Aircel CEO Michael Small observes, quote, 2010 was the year in-flight internet went mainstream, and Aircel established its leadership in this exciting new mobile internet venue. Since securing our exclusive spectrum license in 2006, we've raised more than $500 million, unquote. Existing investors include Ripplewood Holdings, a major private equity group, Blumenstein Thorne Information Partners, and others associated with investor and entrepreneur Oakley Thorne. In assessing its own growth and that of the industry, Aircel notes that by the end of 2010, GoGo in-flight internet service was available on more than 1,050 commercial aircraft operating 3,800 flights daily in the U.S. In the business aviation market, Aircel had nearly 6,000 customers operating a wide range of aircraft all over the world. In 2011, Aircel says it expects to increase its base of installed aircraft by an average of 3 per day in the airline market. Up next on ANN, the United Space Alliance has a bold proposal for NASA. RC model enthusiasts say their industry is threatened. And Raytheon wins a Homeland Security contract. You're listening to Aero News.
Now, another moment of freedom from Sirius Aircraft. Freedom through safety. Perhaps the ultimate freedom is confidence, assurance, and peace of mind. We design it into every personal aircraft we build. It's the security that comes with knowing you're flying the plane with a parachute. The breakthrough concept that launched the Cirrus phenomenon.
Piperjet.
Pipermatch.
Global expansion.
Meridian, Mirage, Matrix, and more.
With so much happening at Piper, how can I possibly keep up?
Get informed. Get involved at facebook.com/Piper Aircraft.
We're back with more of your Aero Briefing for February 9th. I'm Paul Plack. USA, in this case short for the United Space Alliance, wants NASA to consider holding off sending the shuttles Endeavour and Atlantis to museums. The company says it will bid to continue operating the spacecraft after their final missions for NASA. USA estimates that flying the shuttles twice a year would cost about $1.5 billion a year, and notes the idea would significantly reduce the expected gap between the last NASA shuttle flight and the next flight by the United States to resupply the International Space Station. Company officials call the bid, quote, very much a long shot, unquote. USA is down to about 3,900 people from its peak of 6,000 a few years ago. If the shuttle program ends, that could drop to 1,000. The director of the Space Policy Institute at George Washington University calls the option potentially expensive, but a solid backup plan. The United Space Alliance is an LLC with equal shares owned by Boeing and Lockheed Martin. The Academy of Model Aeronautics is warning that an FAA Aviation Rulemaking Committee, created in 2008 to address the issues involved in the exploding demand for small, unmanned aircraft systems, has been dominated by commercial interests and is about to result in restrictions on RC models flown by hobbyists, which could devastate a billion-dollar industry. AMA says the proposed rule would limit altitude nationwide to 400 feet, which for model aircraft away from airports is impractical, unnecessary, unrealistic, and unenforceable. It also objects to proposed limits on speed and weight, and a blanket ban on gas turbine engines. Finally, AMA notes that an expected FAA expansion of a ban on flying models from 3 to 5 miles around almost 20,000 airports would exponentially impact the number of existing flying sites affected by the rule. Model clubs are already facing eviction from fields where they've flown safely for years, simply out of pressures inherent in urban growth. Find more detail on the concerns of the Academy of Model Aeronautics in the text version of this story, dated February 5th, at aero-news.net. The Department of Homeland Security has selected Raytheon to develop an advanced wind turbine modeling tool in the hopes of providing an accurate assessment of the effects of turbines on radar systems throughout the U.S. Wind farms interfere with the radar tracking of aircraft and weather. The turbines create Doppler effect as they rotate, resulting in potential blackout zones. Company VP Andy Zog notes, quote, Raytheon's 60-year legacy in the design and manufacture of radar systems strongly qualifies us to provide an innovative solution to the problem. With the introduction of our highly reliable tool, DHS will be able to better manage approvals of wind farm applications, allowing for clean and renewable wind energy resources, unquote. Still ahead, QBE brings an underwriting operation to Atlanta. Icon Aircraft adds a VP of design. And a California symposium will network investors with inventors. You're listening to Aero News.
Diamond's DA-42 Twin Star is General Aviation's ultimate flying machine. Fly fast with the confidence of a twin for the cost of a single. Go direct over water or rugged terrain and cover great distances in the first and only piston aircraft with an advanced airframe, avionics, and engines. The DA-42 gives you options you've never had before, including the Garmin G1000 and known ice protection. Go where you want, when you want, fast and for less. Visit Diamond on the web at www.diamondair.com or call 888-359-3220.
We're back to wrap up your Aero Briefing for Wednesday, February 9th. I'm Paul Plack. QBE The Americas is launching a U.S.-based general aviation insurance underwriting operation to be headquartered in Atlanta. QBE's Chief Executive Officer for The Americas, John Rumpler, explains, quote, we're pleased to start this operation that will offer a broad range of coverage and bring our company full circle as a true worldwide provider for general aviation insurance services, unquote. QBE The Americas aviation team will work with personal use aircraft owners as well as corporations and airports to provide physical damage, liability, and workers' compensation coverage. QBE is headquartered in Sydney, Australia, and operates out of 49 countries. Icon Aircraft reports that Klaus Trischler, former creative director at BMW Group Designworks USA, has joined Icon as VP of Design Trischler brings more than 16 years of experience in premium design and a passion for power sports. Steen Strand, Icon's co-founder and chief operating officer, who also previously led design at the company, explains the hire. Quote, "Since the company's start, we have been driven to create world-class inspiring designs. With Klaus on the team, we're raising the bar even higher. His passion and deep experience will ensure that the production A5 will be a truly historic aircraft," unquote. Trischler will be responsible for Icon's design direction across all consumer touchpoints, from the details of the A5's production interior to the implementation of the company's brand and its marketing efforts. The estimated base price of the Icon A5 Light Sport Amphibian is $139,000, and orders are accepted with a refundable $5,000 deposit. The company now says deliveries are scheduled to begin late this year. Delta Airlines President Ed Bastian will be the featured guest speaker at the regular bi-monthly meeting of the Atlanta Aero Club on February 16th. He'll address the challenges Delta faces operating in a global economy. Prior to his appointment as president, Bastian served as executive VP and CFO for Delta, beginning in 2005. He joined the airline in 1998 as VP of Finance and Controller and was promoted to senior VP in 2000. The meeting is scheduled for noon on the 16th in the Grand Ballroom of the Capital City Club in downtown Atlanta. And finally today, on April 29th and 30th, representatives from NASA, industry, and academia will present the technologies necessary to inaugurate the age of electric flight. Organizers say the 5th Annual CAFE Electric Aircraft Symposium, or EASV for short, will reveal how safe, emission-free, 2-to-4-seat electric aircraft could soon make a round trip from San Francisco to Los Angeles on a single battery charge at nearly twice the overall trip speed of airline travel. The latest breakthroughs in energy storage, motors, quiet propulsion, powered lift, electronic pilot assistance, autonomous flight, and aerodynamics will be presented, along with proposals for how they can transform transportation. EASV will network its faculty with the attendees in the highly successful evening themed dinners during the symposium in the Grand Ballroom of the Flamingo Resort and Spa in Santa Rosa, California. In honor of all the venture capitalists in attendance, the entree will feature flaming adjectives, and pie in the sky will be served for dessert. That's the latest from Aero News. Remember to check out the ANN special feature. Today, it's the conclusion of my conversation with Ed Jeska, including advice on how to handle trouble with a rogue FISDO. And if you haven't done it yet, subscribe to our AeroCasts at iPodder, Podcast Alley, or at aero-news.net. I'm Paul Platt. Thanks for listening. Have a clear and unlimited day.